And once again, welcome to LI in the AM with Jay Oliver. I am Tom Shalero sitting in for the great Jay Oliver. And telling you folks, we're having a lot of fun. Long Island News Radio time is 7:01 a.m. Now, the next guest is not unfamiliar with many of you folks, is Joseph Jackalone. I've had him on a couple of times. I've actually sat in for Jay and he's been on, and now is the time to hear from Joe. He's a retired NYPD sergeant who held many prestigious positions during his more than 20-year career, including sergeant of the Supervisor Detective Squad. Most of his career was dedicated to conducting and supervising major criminal investigations. He's was the executive officer of the 110th Precinct Detective Squad in Queens and the commanding officer of the Bronx Cold Case Squad. He's an accomplished author with numerous books out that are worth the read, folks. Let me tell you, this is a number one issue in our country right now, is crime and criminal justice. And Joe Jackalone has been such a great friend of the LA News Radio team. And I'm proud to be able to sit in and to have Joe on the program once again. Joe, how are you? Do I have Joe? We lost Joe. We just lost Joe. Okay, we got to get Joe back. And Joe is... I still believe he's teaching at criminal justice at John Jay College, and he's always being called upon. He's called upon quite a bit when it comes down to the issue of crime and criminal justice. It's been such a prevalent issue that's going on right now that he gets called by the major networks and so on. And he's a regular with Jay Oliver, and just to have him on is just absolutely incredible. I think we have him on right now. Joe, you with us?
Yes, I am. How you doing, Tom?
Good. Thanks for coming on, as you normally do. It's always great to hear. And when I heard that you were going to be on today, and again, as you usually are, I have to bring up these Columbia University, NYU, all of what's taking place, even out here at Stony Brook University. You know, your thoughts on that. You're also a teacher. You deal with young people. You've seen so much happening on that score, on the minds of our young people here. To me, it's a lack of knowledge of what free speech really means. The mere fact, there's so many moving parts of this, Joe, and I know that's what I'm doing right now. But when we move into a direction where the NYPD had to be called in, and the action, the incredible action that they took in trying to break this down, and the destruction of Hamilton Hall, how do you put this all in perspective? Why are we not getting it? And I'm talking about our student population, our administrators at the college, and the mere fact of what took place. How do we put this in perspective on a criminal justice level? Joe Jackalone.
Well, before we get into that, about 45 minutes ago, NYU called in the NYPD to clear out their walkways,
wow,
too.
Oh, wow.
So
wow.
That's happening now as we speak.
I didn't know.
Yep, when I was waiting on the phone, this, you know, I was looking through it, and that just popped over on the Twitter feed. And, you know, there's a huge encampment. There's like the view you get is about 30 or 40 tents and garbage, of course, everywhere. And it just, you know, the police have come in and they've announced. They said, listen, you have, you know, if you want to leave, you can pick up your stuff and go. And it looks like most, if not all, the students were just picking up whatever they wanted, their personal items, and are fleeing pretty quickly. So I guess the message has gone out between what they saw happen at Fordham and what they saw happen at Columbia, which is a good thing, in respect that you give them an opportunity to disperse peacefully without any problems, and that's it. But there's going to probably be a few that will fight, stand there and fight for whatever they think is the reason why they're there.
I
guess the same things were asked in radio questions, you know, in the 60s, right? When people were talking about what was going on in the sit-ins way back when. But none of this is going to be productive, and none of this is going to actually change anything. I think it's just sometimes people just wanted something that the protest, so they could tell their grandkids about it. Like, oh, I remember when I was in Columbia, I did a sit-in, you know? I mean, that's basically what it's come down to.
You know, but there is obviously yourself as a learned individual, somebody who does teaching and also very much involved in law enforcement. There seems to be a disconnect here. The young people that are being involved in this, and we can get into whether the percentages of outside agitators versus actual students themselves. The fact of a lack of understanding of what your rights are. You know, as you know, the First Amendment is not absolute. The rights of the individual versus the rights of the general population. And then, of course, the handling by administration. But let's get into that. This is probably the most impossible question anybody could ever be asked. But what is in the mindset of some of these people that choose this, that choose that, okay, we're going to get these tents. Again, mysteriously, they all looked alike. They all went to the same, I guess, Dick's Auto Sports or whatever, a sports club or whatever, where they purchased them. But in addition to that, they just seem to believe that vandalism's okay, taking over buildings is okay, disrupting the campus life, and the worst, being anti-Semitic, going after Jewish students as if they are responsible for whatever the grievances are of these people. Where is it that there's a lack of understanding of what your rights are versus the mere fact of committing criminal action, as we can clearly see about the number of people that are arrested at Stony Brook and the number of people that are arrested at Columbia? Are we failing somewhere that these students don't get it, or this is the way it is?
Well, we could also say that over the years, this is what the indoctrination has been in our school system, right? There has been plenty of talk for the last four decades about what is being taught in schools, what's no longer being taught, right? We removed the American flag. We removed the Pledge of Allegiance, right? We started to desanitize about people's identity to America many, many years ago. And it's now culminating into what we're seeing now. We have people that are just so misinformed and basically brainwashed in a lot of ways. And, we were talking about this yesterday, and I said, listen, if we really wanted to say, listen, okay, I'm going to give you guys five questions about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and if you can't answer them, you got to leave, okay? And start off with basic questions about the history of behind these two groups. Yeah. And I guarantee you they couldn't answer probably any of them. So it's just for them, I think it's just something that they've just been told to do things, and they're doing it. And students have made, great representatives for, communist movements, like in China and everything else. They were students, even Adolf Hitler used students to get his point across and make the change that he wanted. So they're easily molded, and they can easily be told what to do, and they do it. And that's probably what we're dealing with here.
Yeah, interesting, because that's a good answer. And I was concentrating on what you're saying right now, because I'm trying to get this. I'm having a tough time with it, that when you go into a building like Hamilton Hall and then you barricade it and you break windows and you take the desks in the professors' offices and the administration offices and you break it up in order to make any sort of barricades or whatever it is, isn't there something crossing your mind that maybe, just maybe, this could be a violation of the law? And now, based on your answer, and I think to a large extent, there isn't. We all got an opportunity because of YouTube that there was a lot of cameras there at the time it was happening, real time. I was watching NYPD the other night. Absolutely amazing what's taking place. But also, to add to your answer, is the professors. A number of professors linked arms in order to keep the police away from the students, the barricaded students, or even the students that were out there in the open. And they took a couple of interviews from the students. And one professor said, why don't the cops just leave them alone? They're expressing their points of view. And then I thought, well, maybe that's the answer. And I don't want to, again, berate teachers. I certainly wouldn't do that. But when I saw that, I just said, that's a kind of odd point of view to have as a learned individual, as a professor in a major college like Columbia, that just leave them alone. Just let them do what they got to do. How do you react to that, Joe?
Well, that's exactly what I was referring to, right? So you have a lot of professors who are, Tom, we're at the point where the radicals aren't radical enough for the radicals. I mean, that's basically what we're dealing with in regards to this. But listen, protesting peacefully and not destroying property, and they're two different things, right? So when you start taking over buildings and everything, it is no longer peaceful, and you have to stop that nonsense, right? Whoever said it, you got to stop them and say stop, because it's not what the First Amendment allows you to do. And you're taking over private property. So for them, if the schools didn't want them cleared out, then the cops aren't going to go on to the private property and clear them out unless there's something happening in regards to a crime in that respect. But it seems as if NYU has had enough. Columbia's name's been dragged through the mud now. Fordham, I mean, they've just leaders, there is no leadership in any of these places.
Right.
They've all folded like tents themselves. And it just goes to show you that probably money wins out during the day, because at the end, that's what they're really worried about, getting those donations and all the other funding and endowments and everything else are going to stop flowing into these schools. And this is how now these schools are going to end up defunding themselves.
You know, I was watching certainly the response of Columbia and the administration. They said, well, we're in negotiations right now with the students. And one of the so-called student negotiators said, we asked them to bring us food while we were up in Hamilton Hall, and they didn't do that. Is that what we've come to right now? Where, first of all, I don't know who these self-described student negotiators were. Were they elected? Were they given opportunity to do that? There were no real negotiations going on. There was a feckless response by the administration there that really are charged with the responsibility of protecting the safety of students and also keeping the peace, keeping the property all intact. They got millions of dollars worth of damage to Hamilton Hall. Could we assign some blame to that?
Well, sure. I mean, one of the things that I think you could have solved a lot of these problems without having to do any police involvement is if by any chance you could have gotten the district attorney on board, come up there to the school and say, listen, I'm going to charge every one of you with felony burglary. I'm going to charge you with criminal mischief, criminal reckless endangerment. And these are all the charges you're going to get charged with. You've destroyed this building, like you said, millions of dollars in damaging, and I'm not dropping any of the charges. And it's going to stay on your permanent record. You got 30 minutes to get out. I think 99% of them would have left peacefully.
Yes.
Gone. See ya. Because that's the only way that you could have done that without having any really major police intervention per se. But we don't have that leadership in Manhattan District Attorney's Office either.
Yeah,
so it just goes to show you. But I mean, there could have been simple measures to do it. And starting with the schools themselves saying, we're not going to tolerate this. And if you do this, if you're taking over our building, I don't know what I think it was maybe UCLA or one of the colleges. They actually said, okay, well, we're not going to, charge you guys for the damage that you've done and stuff like that. I mean, that was part of their negotiation. I mean, really? Who's paying for that now? But, good luck with these colleges moving forward, getting endowments, I can tell you.
Right. And, you speak the truth, because that's exactly what the problem is. But I want to take you a little bit to the Florida State University, and I watched their response. Kids started to set up, and they basically said, no, we're not going to negotiate with children. Children are not going to do this. This is what they were calling their own students. And they said, they're out of here. And they were gone. They had it all done in a couple of hours. And they were not afraid to call them children. They're not afraid to say, you're not doing this, and that's that. Now, again, total respect for the First Amendment, but that's not what this is about anymore, particularly if you're the parent of a child that's going, or a young adult going to Columbia and so on, and you've got to be subjected to anti-Semitic statements, hate speech and so on. That's just not right. And that somewhere that has to be picked up to. But why the regional difference? Why could they handle it in this Florida State University system the way they did and that we can't do it here? Is there something wrong with us in New York?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, there's something wrong with us in New York. I mean, if you look at the two main, let's call them ground zeros for all this stuff, UCLA and Columbia, right? Two of your most liberal institutions probably out there that have been basically telling kids the whole time about, Marxism and socialism and everything else. I mean, where do you think all this stuff comes from? I mean, it's just... it's just not what the normal course of the program, the academic program, should be. I always said if we had body cams on teachers, I think we would have a lot less problems.
Because, I like that. I like that thought.
Because some of the things that are taught in school, I mean, you hear whispers of things like, oh, professor, somebody said this and that, and you can shake your head.
Yeah. Yeah, you're hearing that. And the involvement of the teaching staff and the professors at some of these was just absolutely horrific when we thought about that. And also, of course, we didn't even get to talk about these outside agitators because we are running out of some time here. Joe, any other new books coming out? What's up? What's going on? How people could learn more about you?
Well, I did have a new book last year come out, The Cold Case Handbook. It's about, not only for law enforcement, but also for families and victims and you know, members of the media that were looking to dig into some of these cases. I started a YouTube channel called True Crime with the Sarge that I've been doing. It's taken off pretty much. I'm closing in on 10,000 subscribers.
Nice.
But I started last August.
Wow.
So, things are going pretty good. I'm just doing my thing, enjoying myself. I'm finally doing something that I wanted to do, right? So I create my own content, and instead of always, you know, doing stuff for the media, I'm doing stuff for myself.
Okay. So the folks go on True Crime with the Sarge, and they could subscribe and, you know, like you and do whatever they need to do in order to build up that channel.
It's
That's
free
absolutely.
To watch. Yep.
Yes.
It's free to watch. There's no cost for it. It's on YouTube.
That's absolutely fantastic. Joe Jackalone, always a pleasure to have you on. And keep up the good work, my friend. And we'll talk again soon, my friend.
Yes.
Thank you.
You got it, Tom. Take care. Have a good one.
Okay.